starts tomorrow night at midnight, okay? Menards has been ready since August. They took out their lawnmowers and put in their Christmas trees. So I just want to... How many of you were here last year, Thanksgiving service? How many of you remember what I preached on last year, Thanksgiving service? Anybody remember? Carl? No, it wasn't the corn. That was the year before. Anybody remember? It's a song. It was the words of a song. I made reference to Brother Hawk. He ain't heavy. He's my brother. Remember that? Well, I'm not going to do that again this year. Brother Hawk's gotten too heavy. Sorry, bro. Oh, it's kind of funny. I just want to set the tone for this a little bit. You know, sometimes we can just get grumpy in life. Anybody ever just have one of those grumpy spells? You know, you just get grumpy, and you really don't know why you're grumpy. You're just kind of grumpy. And, you know, we can all, that can happen to all of us. And I'm not for sure why sometimes that my wife gets all grumpy, but she just does. I know why she gets grumpy. Because I miss the laundry basket all the time. I know how to run a dishwasher, but I don't always run the dishwasher. Guys, I'm preaching at us right now. How many of you know how to wash your own clothes, guys? How many of you wash your own clothes? We got a few guys that are in here. How many of you, your wife says, would you please leave the clothes washer alone and leave that to me? We got a few of them. Brother Thomas went one time and went to a garage sale and he bought some laundry detergent because it was on sale and he thought, this is a really good deal. So he bought the laundry detergent. He went home and he pulled a bunch of the stuff, sheets off the bed and all of that, and stuffed it in there, and he poured the detergent in there, washed the sheets, and everything got all just turned all black and ugly looking, and come to find out the guy sold him some used motor oil in a laundry detergent bottle. Peggy's like, would you just leave this alone? We all have those grumpy moments, those grumpy times. And I began to think about this, that, you know, being thankful. Let's give a hand to Brother Thomas. We just got done telling on you, man. Oh, we love Rich Thomas. You know, being happy, being thankful, it's a choice that we make, really. It's something that we choose to do. And sometimes we just choose to be grumpy because we want to be grumpy. And sometimes we choose to be happy and thankful because we want to be happy and thankful. But I've run across a scripture here, and I just want to challenge you tonight. It's not a new scripture by any means for any of us, but it's in 1 Thessalonians chapter 5, verse 18. And it's a hard scripture when you really think about it. It's a really tough, tough scripture to digest. And everything, give thanks. Okay? I want to repeat that because this covers everything, all right? In everything, give thanks. For this is the will of God in Christ Jesus for you. That's a tough one to swallow. In everything, give thanks. So that means in everything that happens to me, I am to give thanks. Why? For this is the will of God in Christ for you. So you come to church, You get three quarters of the way here, you have a flat tire, you change your tire, you make it another block, you run out of gas, and you have to take and step out of the car, and some brother or sister sees you walking up the road, they pick you up, and they bring you the rest of the way to church, and you're telling me, Pastor, in everything, give thanks. For this is the will of God in Christ Jesus for you. Are you kidding me? The Amplified says, in every situation, no matter what the circumstances, be thankful and continually give thanks to God, for this is the will of God for you in Christ Jesus. Now, I've got to confess tonight that I find this scripture very, 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 very challenging to live up to at times. I don't know about the rest of you. Okay, I can only speak for myself. When I look at Scripture, it's easy at times to seek ye first the kingdom of God and His righteousness and all these things. We look at that and we read to love your neighbor as yourself. And it's real easy to say that if you live out in the country and your closest neighbor is a mile away, you never see them, they never bother you. Our closest neighbor now is Jeff and Linda Neeson, so that doesn't really, it's easy for me to love my neighbor as myself. Because I don't have any bad neighbors. That's an easy scripture. It's like, yes, I can do this. Honor your father and mother. That's pretty easy. If your mom and dad are, you know, Bishop Grant and his lovely wife, Darlene Grant, it's real easy to say, well, that's easy to honor my mom and dad. You know? Tomorrow, let's just be honest. Tomorrow, Thanksgiving, how many of you are having a Thanksgiving meal tomorrow? That's pretty much probably everybody here. And the house is full of company. You've got family and you've got friends ready to eat. If you're like me, your turkey has been in the smoker and it's been smoking all night long at 180 degrees and you can break your fast after service. You have my permission. Your turkey's been cooking in there, simmering in that nice hickory smoke all night long. And you go out and in the morning it's just pristine and you get everything ready to go for the meal. You make the baked potatoes or you make the sweet potatoes and you're working hard and the family arrives and you want to get all of those little add-ins, all those little special things that fit into the meal that make the meal what it is, and everybody's supposed to bring something. And you find out that your sister-in-law didn't bring the cranberries. I love cranberries. Some of you probably don't like cranberries, but I like cranberries. And she didn't bring the cranberries again. And the bread that was supposed to be brought, baked already, isn't baked. It's still in the Costco bag. And there's some garlic butter in there and a bunch of spreads, and it's like, you got to put this in the oven, but the oven is full of pies and everything else, so we got no bread baked. Nobody brought the iced tea that was supposed to be brought. You had one thing to bring, a bag of ice, and you didn't bring the ice. So how can we keep the beverages cold and we only have Diet Dr. Pepper? That's all that came. So Brother Phil is happy, but nobody else is. You ever have one of those meals like that? And so here you're all upset because nothing is pulling together right, and you want it all to be perfect, and you grab your pan and you head out to get the turkey off the smoker, and you open up the lid, and smoke starts to just pour out. And that turkey sits there. It's got third-degree burns over 90% of its body. It's charred. You can't even stick a fork in it. Now, I just challenge you right here at this point to just stop. and remember 1 Thessalonians 5:18. Can you really do that? In all things give thanks? For this is the will of God. God, is it really your will that we have a burnt turkey? Now, this is pretty simple. But this goes with so many other things in life. You got to say, are you kidding me? But did you know that thanksgiving or giving thanks, it's a choice that we make. It's something we decide to do. I'm so very blessed. I sat outside today. It was a nice and warm if you were in the sun. A little cool in the shade, but I looked around me, and as I began to just talk to God, tears just began to well up in my eyes. And I remember we sang that song this weekend. I haven't heard it for a long time, so that's probably what kind of triggered in my mind. Thank you, Lord, for saving my soul. Thank you, Lord, for making me whole. Thank you, Lord, for giving to me thy great salvation so rich and free. You know, that's such a powerful little song. It really is. It's so simple. And I begin to thank God for all that I have. And I started with just some of the simple things in life. Now, I don't know about you. I don't know when you sit down and really think about your life and you say, well, I'm just thankful. Usually we just hit the really big things. And I am. I'm thankful. I'm thankful for salvation. I'm thankful for salvation. I'm thankful for a church, an incredible church that we have. I'm thankful for all my brothers and sisters. I'm thankful for a beautiful, godly wife that loves me seemingly no matter what. But you know what? I'm also thankful for Crest toothpaste and my toothbrush. Think about that. How many countries, how many places can you go that people don't have access to something as simple as a toothbrush? I'm thankful, I don't know about you, but I'm thankful for a washer and a dryer. Begin to think about that today. If I didn't have a washer and a dryer, I'd probably be taking my clothes and putting them in some kind of a big pot and putting them out in the backyard underneath some fire. And I'd have to take and heat that water up and put my clothes in it, stir them all up, get out one of those old scrub boards, scrub off all of the stains, and then hang them out on some wire, some rope to dry. I don't know about you, but I'm thankful for a washer and a dryer. I'm thankful that I've got running water in my home. I don't know about the rest of you, but it's kind of nice when it's 25, 30 below zero in January and I don't have to run out to an outhouse. I'm thankful that I got running water in my house. And I know it sounds really crass, but I'm really thankful for toilet paper. What did the pioneers use? You know, you think about, this sounds really silly. I'm thankful that I have a home that's got a roof that's waterproof. Because not everybody has that. Begin to think about this. I got two cars. I got a pickup truck that Brother Marcus is his best friend. I've got a Jeep that we tow behind an RV that's nicer than a lot of people's homes. I have a lot to be thankful for. But you see, yet through all of this, there are times that we can sit down at a table spread out with food and provisions that most people would dream about. We fill ourselves up and we eat till we can't eat anymore. And we talk about how thankful we are and we talk about how great our life is. We get into our internal combustion marvel on wheels that's made out of, the wheels are made out of a tree sap called rubber. And we get into that thing and we rush off as the heat surges through our heated luxury leather seats. all while we're listening to music that's beamed from some radio station that's half a world away. It goes 250 miles up into the space, into a satellite, and it's beamed down right into our car. It's all collected electronically into this little small plastic box mounted in our dash, and it tells us where to go and when to turn. Well, we rush out to buy more stuff, more things, because we feel that we need more to be thankful for. Yet, in all of this, it's the worst day shopping ever. You ever hear anybody talk about, how was your trip? Oh, it was the worst ever you could ever imagine. It was horrible. You travel more in 2 hours than pioneers took 3 weeks. You drive across bridges and not have to get out and try to navigate how to get your vehicle through the water to the other side. I mean, all of these things that we just, I'm thankful for concrete bridges. I don't know. It's a tough swim if you're going to cross some of these, and we love to complain when our Wi-Fi only downloads 3 pages in 10 seconds. Your Wi-Fi is awful slow here. Wi-Fi. Think about that. A decade ago, you didn't even have it. 50 years ago, you look at life 100 years ago. We just went on vacation and our cell phones wouldn't work everywhere we went. And everybody's, not everybody, but some of us are grumpy because, well, I can't get any emails. I can't open my emails. Who would have thought, Brother James, that we'd be sending all of this stuff electronically? I remember when the first fax machine came out. And it was just mind-boggling that you could take a picture and fax it over a telephone line. We live in a safe, comfortable home. But what if we had to live in that part of town that everybody talks about is that part of town? An apartment building or a house that was unsafe, it was cold, the roof leaked. Your running water only ran periodically, your heat, your electricity. Would you still be able to say, thank you, Lord, for the home that I live in? But you see, yet that's where, if we're really honest with ourselves, that's where most of our Christian brothers and sisters live. They live in dirt huts with no glass windows and no doors, no Wi-Fi, no cell towers. They don't have a car. They want to go anywhere, they walk. Did you know that the most common building material in the world today is still mud? More people live in mud homes than any other type of a structure. Could we still be thankful? I'm thankful that I have a job. But what if you were underemployed? What if you were unemployed and maybe you were disabled? You were never able to work again. I know I've had a lot of conversations, and I don't think you would mind me sharing this with Brother Hicks, in a wheelchair for 20 plus years now, I believe, with MS. Never able to work again, but you sit down and talk with him and he'll share with you how blessed and how thankful that he is. But would we still be able to be thankful? But you see, that is where many Christians are in the world today. Did you know that two-thirds of the world, that 7 billion people, two-thirds of 7 billion people live on less than $1 a day? Your Starbucks would feed them for one solid week. Just think about that. I'm thankful. But you see, my thankfulness, it's a choice that I make. It's a choice that we make. An insured savings account and an unassured retirement account We're thankful because we've got our 401ks and retirement accounts, but what if you were penniless? What if you didn't have any money at all and you were uninsured, you have no social, no financial, or no medical safety net? You see, here in America, we complain about our health care, but you know what? You can still get free health care. If you're in an emergency and you're in a bad way, you can still go to the hospital and they're going to take care of you. But you see, the bulk of the world today, where a lot of our Christian brothers and sisters live, they don't have that. They just can't run out to Dean Clinic. They just can't shoot over to St. Mary's. I got a toothache. We're so blessed. A healthy, strong body that has mobility. But what if you were sick? What if you had a prognosis that you would never be able to return to your full state of health? Would we still be able to say, Lord, I give thanks in all things, for this is the will of God? I don't know. Can I? A wonderful family and friends. We've got family and friends. But what if you were the only believer in your family and no one else believed what you believe? What if you were the only saved person in your city? Because we have countries that are that way. If there's just one or two people in the whole entire country that have Bible salvation. I'm thankful. I'm so thankful. I'm thankful for my family and friends. I'm thankful for this church. So are we really, sometimes if we're not careful, we can only be thankful when times are good. America, as we know it, has never really been bad. It's continually progressed and gotten better and better and better as generations go by. The generations today have so much more available to them than previous generations. But you see, as a nation, we've become a nation that is so unthankful. We really have. We're not happy if we don't have the newest and the best. Why is that? Because we've nurtured that culture for so long, it's become part of who we are as a country. If you go walk around grumpy all the time, after a while that grumpiness will be part of your character and it will become part of who you are. I know people that are that way. They never smile. They're never happy about anything. So in everything, give thanks. You see, the way to measure genuine gratitude is to see if this verse really does fit us. So if thanksgiving or being thankful is a choice, then there has to be some benefits of that choice. Wouldn't you agree? So if God says in everything give thanks, so what are the benefits of that? Well, we read in Psalms 100, it says, make a joyful noise unto the Lord, all ye lands. Serve the Lord with gladness. Come before his presence with singing. Know ye that the Lord, he is God. It is he that hath made us, and not we ourselves. We are his people, and the sheep of his pasture. Enter into his gates with thanksgiving. And thanksgiving is a choice. And into his courts with praise. Be thankful unto him and bless his name. For the Lord is good. His mercy is everlasting. And his truth endureth to all generations. So if we were to take this passage of scripture here in Psalms 100 and say, how does this classify us as a thankful people, or how we should be? Thankful people are a joyful people. Do you know that? Grumpy people don't have joy. They don't. Have you ever seen a grumpy, happy person? Think about it for a minute. There's no such thing, is there? You can't be grumpy and happy. So thankful people are joyful people. Philippians 4, 6, and 7 says, be careful for nothing, but in everything by prayer and supplication with thanksgiving. Let your requests be known unto God, and the peace of God, which passeth all understanding, shall keep your hearts and minds through Christ Jesus. You see, the peace of God comes. If you want to have the peace of God in your life, and you want to have a joyful life full of thanksgiving, the peace of God comes from having a thankful heart. That's why there's so much unrest in the world today, and peace is hard to find, because people are not having a thankful heart. They've lost the ability to be thankful. This is what peace will do to you. God says it will keep your hearts and your minds through Christ Jesus. People who are not thankful to the Lord, they're just simply not a satisfied person. They're discontent, always complaining about why they do not have, rather than being grateful for what God has laid out and God has provided for them. Psalms 100 verse 2 says, serve the Lord with gladness. Serve the Lord with gladness. That's tough sometimes too, Brother Hawk. Is everybody enjoying this message tonight? You got awful quiet on me here. We're kind of reading our mail tonight, I guess, a little bit, because it is so easy to become unthankful for things. Serve the Lord with gladness and enter into his gates with thanksgiving. So, if I were to ask you a question tonight, who benefits from being thankful? When you think about this, who really benefits from being thankful? For the Lord is good. His mercy is everlasting, and his truth endureth to all generations. Those that are thankful are the ones who have gladness in their hearts, and they reap the blessings of God. So do you want blessings? Do you need a blessing? Really, I don't consider a new iPhone 8 as a blessing or a needed blessing. That's just me, okay? I just don't consider that to say something that, man, I have this huge need. If God could just come through, would you help me pray and fast? I'm not going to give up chicken dinner for you and iPhone. Because I don't really consider that to be a needed blessing. I'm just being honest, okay? Don't ask me to pray and fast for you to get a new car if that's a Cadillac Escalade. I'll fast that God provides you with the vehicle. I'll pray and help if you need a vehicle. But sometimes we got to be careful. Now, if the car dealer were to come up and say, you know what, Sister Kim, God just spoke to me when I was sitting in my office, and I'm supposed to give you a car today. You pick out any car you want to pick out. I'd say, listen, girl, you get that Cadillac Escalade. If God's going to give you a blessing, you get a good one. Don't go out there in the discount lot where that's rusted and it's got bad tires and it leaks oil and say, okay, I'm only good enough for this one. No, if God's going to open up a blessing like that, you step into it. But you see, it doesn't happen that way often. It does, but not often. So you want blessings, you need blessings, we need to be thankful. Some people never get blessed because they're never thankful. So, church, we have so much to be thankful for. I'm thankful for salvation. That's the foremost thing I'm thankful for. You know what else I'm thankful for? I'm thankful for the opportunity and the privilege to serve. A lot of people don't like that. We're going to be going into the fellowship hall when I finish this message. We're going to be setting up and helping set up some people. I love to help serve. But you see, I've learned and understood that there's benefits that come with that. Daily provision of every need. I'm really thankful for that. This is why it's important that we have prayer before every meal. This is why it's important that we teach our children to pray and give thanks unto the Lord, because not everybody gets to eat the way we get to eat. You know what else I'm thankful for? I'm thankful for the perpetual protection of the Lord over my life. I am. I don't know about the rest of you, but I'm just thankful that God is always on the job protecting us. I'm thankful for that. I'm also thankful for family and friends that love me and put up with me in spite of myself at times. And also I'm thankful for all of the answered prayers that God has given to me over my lifetime. But I'm also thankful for some of those unanswered prayers, because they shouldn't have been prayed in the first place. You know something else about thankful people that I really like? Did you know thankful people are just practical people? Did you know that? They have common sense. I just like common sense people. You see, because they merge that common sense and they merge that with the will of God. And God has a wonderful plan for your life and for my life. But see, sadly, too many Christians, we just struggle sometimes with the common sense. And we don't want anything to merge with the will of God, because we want to do our own thing, because we think we'll maybe be better at it. But you see, there's nothing sadder than to see people living without just that practical faith that God desires to give us in their lives. You see, as believers who are thankful to God, we must understand that life really is so very short. There's an old Amish saying that soon or too soon old and too late smart. I kind of like that. You see, so many of us at times, so many of us saints, we spend years and years and years just spinning our wheels, trying our best to determine God's ultimate purpose for us. And we never seem to find it, because we're never thankful in whatever state we are in. We're never content long enough for God to do what God desires to do in our lives. You see, people who are thankful realize that God's will always includes others, not just you. You see, God's will for my life was part of that is being a pastor. And, you know, it's kind of hard to pastor if you're alone and there's nobody else here. You're really not pastoring anybody. You're not leading anybody. You're not a shepherd if you have no sheep. I could put it that way. You see, people who are thankful realize that God's will always include other people. And a life that's lived only for yourself, not only is it boring and wasted, but you see, thankful people live for family. Thankful people live for neighbors. Thankful people live for their coworkers. Thankful people live for their spiritual brothers and sisters, and thankful people live for those that are unsaved. Today in our modern society, there are a growing number of people who consider themselves to be consumers rather than givers. And that attitude, if we're not careful, can sneak into the church and slowly creep into where that we become a church of consumers, as in what's in it for me. What do I get out of this? It's so funny sometimes, the benevolent fund requests, when people come in, people are looking for a church that's a giving church. I had a gentleman one day tell me, yeah, my family, we're looking for a church that's a giving church. We're only interested in going to the churches that are willing to give to the community. I said, well, our church is a very giving church. I knew where he was going with this. In the end, he was hitting me up for about $1,800 in funds that he needed. And when I told him I couldn't do that, he quickly changed his tune, and we were no longer giving. He was going to have to go somewhere else. You see, he developed the attitude of a consumer rather than a giver. They come to church to be served. Serve me, Pastor. Give me. But see, we need to come to church to give. We need to come to church not to be served, but to serve others. And what are we to serve? We're to serve with, mixed emotions on whether or not we're going to get anything out of this. No, we're to serve with gladliness. Gladness. We're supposed to be happy about this. Brother Brian mentioned this in the offering tonight. We're supposed to be cheerful givers. Man, do you mean I got to give my tithes again? We don't have any problem giving a 20% tip on a meal. We don't have any problem. Well, we don't have any choice in giving taxes. Try going without giving your taxes once and see how long that lasts. I've just learned I have to give them cheerfully. When I was in business and I would pay quarterlies, that's when it really hits you. I don't know if you know it or not, but they sneak it out of your check every week. The reason they do that is because if you did it every quarter, Washington would have a riot on their hands because you would see all of that accumulated. And when I'm looking at this and I'm thinking, I've got to cheerfully give this. And all things give thanks. It's really hard to do that sometimes. You see, we need to serve with gladness, thanking the Lord for the opportunity to serve. Thankful Christians know that God's will is always expendable. Don't drive your stakes too deep, because as we grow, we need to see the picture more clearly, because God will take, and where we are now may not be where we're going to be 6 months from now, a year from now, or 2 years from now. Our ministry is blessed, and as our vision enlarges, God's will becomes more encompassing, and His leading us at times. Sometimes we have to just kind of tweak that and clarify where God is leading us. Thankful people know God's will is always energized by conviction. I'm thankful for conviction. Really am. Some people have very little to no conviction. I'm thankful that I had parents that had conviction. I didn't like it all the time, but I'm thankful for that, because you see, conviction is an unshaken confidence that I have in God, that I am His and that He is mine. And I'm thankful for conviction that His word is true, and that He knows, He cares, and He watches over us, and that He guides us, He provides, and His grace is always sufficient, and that He will never put anything more on us and what we're willing to deal with. You see, one thing I love about God, and I'm thankful that He may humble us. Sometimes we have to be humbled, Brother Hawk. But you see, God will humble us, but He will never humiliate us. How many of you have ever been humbled by someone and then they humiliate you? See, God doesn't do that. He may humble us. He may correct us, but He never will humiliate us. And He will never, ever leave us alone and forsake us. Thankful people, another characteristic of thankful people is that they know God's will always be simple. Do you know we don't have a complicated God? Did you know that? When I look at the universe and I look at everything in the universe, it looks so complex. But God is really, He is very complex if we look at Him from our infinite minds, but God is very simple in how He deals with humanity. 2 Corinthians 11:3 says, "But I fear lest by any means, as the serpent beguiled Eve through his subtlety, so your minds should be corrupted from the simplicity that is in Christ." You see, God uses people to accomplish His purpose. Sometimes we get aggravated at people. We've talked about this before over the past year. We get aggravated with people because they rub us the wrong way. But did you know that God uses people? There are a few times God tried to get man's attention and man wouldn't listen, so God had to use an animal. Had to use a donkey. But God uses people. He uses sometimes your wife. to take and get your attention when you're trying to do something and you're not trying to figure out why this isn't working, and your wife says, well, maybe God's trying to tell you something. We get mad at our poor wives. It's not their fault. It's our stubbornness. Sometimes it's the wife that's the stubborn one. See, God uses people to accomplish his purpose. Evangelism, when we look at evangelism, evangelism is people. God uses people to evangelize. He uses people to reach other people. A local church, this church, is God's sole source of manpower to reach this community. His church is the sole source of manpower to reach our world. The death, the burial, and the resurrection. When you look at this, the death, talk about simplicity. The death, the burial, and the resurrection is the message of the gospel. Summed up, Jesus Christ came, he died, he was buried, and he was resurrected. That's the gospel. It's not complex. It's not difficult. I'm thankful. Thankful people understand something about thankful people. Thankful people like to bless other people. I'm thankful that I've been on the receiving end of some of those blessings. But I'm also thankful that over my life, I've been able to take and bless other people. Some people don't even know. You give it in anonymously. Sometimes I just go up to people and say, you know what? I want to take you out for lunch today. I want to bless you today. But thankful people will bless other people. It's a blessing and it's uplifting for others when we show in a practical way our degree or our level of thanksgiving in our life. This thanksgiving is a choice. You see, we cannot give God anything. He's given us all that we have. And we need to take what we have and give back to God and give back to our fellow brothers and sisters. And I'm not saying you take every bit of your paycheck and you give it away. We have to be stewards of our funds, our monies. If you don't have the money to give, you don't have the money to give. There are times I haven't had the money to give. But I'm thankful. Thankful people are blessing people, people that want to bless others. You see, the money we give here at Calvary Gospel Church, I don't know if you know this or not, but it pays the expenses we have. It pays the light bill. It's vital in reaching out to our community with the gospel. We support our outreaches. My salary is paid, our church salary, all of our church employees. I'm thankful that we have people that want to give and bless others. I want to always have a grateful heart. I don't want to give with an attitude. 2 Corinthians 9:7 says, every man according as he purposes in his heart, so let him give, not grudgingly or of necessity, for God loveth a cheerful giver. There you go, Brother Brian. When you said that tonight, I'm like, he's in my notes. Note that God says he loves the cheerful giver. That's pretty clear to me. The cheerful giver gives in thanksgiving to the Lord, and that pleases God, and it shows that we have a proper attitude towards our giving. Did you know that thankfulness encourages and motivates people? Thankfulness, it's contagious. You get around a group of people that are thankful. They're thankful for all that they have, all that God has given to them. It's easy to set an example for others. But you see, if we don't show our thankfulness of heart through our actions, then what happens is we become a stumbling block for others. Why would I want to be a Christian? Why would I want to go to Calvary Gospel Church when every time Mark Nikielski comes in, he's grumpy and in a bad mood? I'm just picking on Mark tonight because I know he'll forgive me. Man, I've known some pretty grumpy Christians. But you see why? Thankfulness. Thankfulness is contagious. When we practice practical thanksgiving, it blesses others and it sets the example around us. Tomorrow is going to be a great example of what we just pointed out here, because tonight after service, there's going to be a number of thankful people that are thankful and willing that they have the opportunity to help serve. You may not be able to be here tomorrow, then we'll go help set up tables tonight. But I'm thankful that I'll do my part tonight and someone will do their part tomorrow. But overall, I'm thankful that we have an opportunity to serve. Thankfulness will brighten those dark corners, those people that are going to show up here tomorrow that have not had a very happy life. They've not had the life that they can be thankful for, and they will show up here. They may not have a home to go back to. They may come in from the cold and wonder where they're going to spend tomorrow night. We have no idea who's going to come through these doors tomorrow. But I know one thing, we're going to brighten their day. We're going to brighten their spirits. We're going to lift their spirits. And we're going to show honor and respect to them, whether they smell good or not. Because I'm thankful. I think arrogance is one of the ugliest expressions that a person can have. You see, it's the arrogant that won't thank people for what they have done for us. Arrogance is a spirit of unthankfulness. It's a spirit of pride. Thankfulness strengthens your faith. Did you know that? Being thankful will strengthen your faith. It will strengthen your faith and it will strengthen others. It proclaims your faith. And that encourages other people. It strengthens your dependence on God for every provision and upholds the biblical truth of the thankfulness of God. Thankful people honor God. Psalms 101, make a joyful noise unto the Lord. Bless the Lord, O my soul, and all that is within me. Bless his holy name. Bless the Lord, O my soul, and forget not all of his benefits. What are his benefits? Praise and thanksgiving and worship, ministering. We are ministering to the Lord. Praise, thanksgiving, and worship, exalting the Lord. Praise, thanksgiving, and worship will drive Satan far from us. Praise and thanksgiving drives and helps us to forgive others and take pride and bitterness from our own spirits. It's a spirit of praise and worship and thanksgiving that will free us. The very last thing I want to cover tonight is thanksgiving. True thanksgiving will expose in all of us our level of humility. The only way to be thankful in all things is in humility, because we know that we deserve absolutely nothing. I don't deserve what I have. I love my wife. I love her dearly, but I don't deserve her. I don't deserve what all that I have. Sometimes I look back, but I'm thankful and I'm grateful for even the smallest things. I'm just thankful for my toothbrush sometimes. You see, thanklessness stems from pride, and ingratitude flows from the belief that we deserve better than what we have. Did you hear that? I said thanklessness stems from pride, stems from ingratitude, which flows from a belief that we deserve better than what we have. And pride tries to convince us that either our job, our health, our spouse, or our possessions are not as good as we feel we deserve. When I look into our nation's past, it was 1620. that 102 pilgrims had come to this continent to build a new world where they would be able to freely worship God how they chose to worship God. 56 of those died from starvation, disease, and the cold winter. However, they simply would not give up. In 1621, 46 pilgrims were all that was left. But they sat down to the first Thanksgiving dinner, as we know it, with 91 American Native Indians. And they gave their thanks to a bountiful harvest and the preservation of their lives. They were just thankful to be alive. Because almost half of them had passed away. They had every reason to be depressed. They had every reason to be discouraged. They had every reason to question God and say, God, we're here. We want to honor you, serve you in this new country. How can you have done this to us? But instead, they chose to give thanks as they sat there that day. In unison, they gave thanks for the bountiful supplies that God had given to them. For musicians can come, if you could just stand tonight in closing. We read in an Old Testament book, it's not preached out of very often, probably because most people can't say the name of the fellow that wrote it. Habakkuk, I think, is how he says his name. But it was written against the backdrop, if you read into the book and Habakkuk, and you read about the backdrop, it was apostasy in the nation of Israel. They were very unthankful. They were living unholy lives, and the judgment of God was settling down upon the nation. And they were in a state of unbelievable hardship. And it was written during a time when Jehoiakim, he was the king of Judah, and he had led the people back into idolatry and led them away from the ways of the Lord. And as a result, God was preparing to judge the nation of Israel. I look at Habakkuk, and I look at us today, and I see a very similar and a very parallel lines that have been drawn. Habakkuk was one of the very first prophets that actually argued his case with God. He sat down and made his case and began to argue with the Lord, but in the end he realizes that God is not to be worshipped merely because of the temporal. We're not to worship him merely because of the material blessings. We're not to worship him merely because of the physical blessings and health that we have in life. But we are to worship him simply because of who he is. He ends his words amongst all of this struggle. Amongst all of this strife, he ends his words with a song of thanksgiving for God, to God, for who God is. And for the unchanging benefits that belong to those who know who God is. You see, the old prophet had reason to fret. He had reason to question. But he chooses instead to be thankful. The closing verse of the book reads like this. The prophet says, the fig trees are barren. The olive harvest is bad. The cows and the sheep, they've all died. And yet, I will rejoice in the Lord. I will exalt in the God of my salvation. I will exalt, I will worship, and I will praise God the Lord, because He is my strength. His world is crumbling all around him, and yet through all of this, this at times almost a defiant prophet, he makes a choice. And he says, I'm going to be thankful because I have a choice. And I'm going to choose thanksgiving. You know, sometimes we just got to face the music. When it says, in everything, give thanks, for this is the will of God in Christ Jesus for you. In every situation, no matter what the circumstances, be thankful. Continually give thanks to God, for this is the will of God for you in Christ Jesus. I can imagine the old prophet just lifting up his hands and saying, Lord, I'm thankful. My world is falling apart, but hallelujah. Hallelujah, anyhow. I looked up the words to an old song, and sometimes we just got to sing this. Sometimes we just got to say this. Hallelujah. Hallelujah, anyhow. No matter what happens in life, I'm going to be thankful. No matter what happens, no matter what trials and troubles come my way, I'm going to be thankful. The old song says, hallelujah, anyhow. Never let my trouble get me down. I remember singing this. No matter how whatever problems life may bring, I'm going to hold my head up high and sing, hallelujah, anyhow. Remember Job? Once I read about a man named Job. His trials and afflictions laid him low. His wife says, why don't you curse God and die? But instead he shouted and held his head up high. Hallelujah. Anyhow. I want to be thankful. Wife, I'm going to be thankful. I've lost my children. I've lost our home. We've lost our wealth. But I'm going to be thankful. Oh, Paul and Silas sitting in jail, two preachers, strong and bold, they said, why should we sit down here and cry? And instead they sang and held their heads up high. Hallelujah. Anyhow, how many of you are thankful tonight? I am so thankful. As we close out this Thanksgiving service, I'm just going to ask all of you if you could just come to the front. And let's just lift our hands in chorus. As our praise team begins to sing, let's just begin to thank God for what we have. Let's begin to worship God and thank Him for who He is. Let's thank Him. Our barn may be empty, our gas tank may be empty, food may be sparse, the job may not be making ends in meet, but I'm still thankful, God. I'm thankful. I'm thankful for what I have. I'm thankful for my wife. I'm thankful for my family, my parents. I'm thankful for my brothers and my sisters, Lord. I'm thankful, Lord. My health may not be perfect. It may not be what I want, Lord, but I'm thankful, God, that I'm still here. And while I'm here, God, I'm going to worship you and I'm going to thank you, Lord, for who you are. Because, God, you're so much more than just what I am. You're so much more than just what I desire, God. I thank you, Lord, for my children, my child, my daughter, my grandchildren, for my wife, Lord, my parents, our friends. Thank you, Lord, for the co-workers that I work with, Lord.